that come to you today wanting to talk about something serious, because I'm getting accused from every angle the last couple of days of using you as my Jewish meat shield to discuss what's happened with DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson. And what it doesn't buy me, Stugatz, is a couple of things. First of all, it doesn't know me very well, but it doesn't know you very well either. It doesn't know me very well in thinking that there's anything that I won't talk about here. Like, you're giving me, like, the idea that you think I'm afraid to discuss a subject because of whatever your beliefs are excludes the knowledge that I haven't been bashful about talking about whatever, but it also excludes that twice in the last 2 days, yesterday redundantly, when he went to some of the same points, Stugatz was in his wheelhouse. He got the football. He started running. He was defending Judaism against attacks, but being forgiving as well. And I just let him go. And then because our show is suddenly a sponsored NASCAR during the pandemic, there was no room to talk about it. I still haven't been able to get to the fact that I just learned that Edelman is Jewish. I've been wanting to get to that since Monday. I just learned that Edelman is Jewish. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. And furthermore, why did I not know that? The reason I ask you is because how is he not at the top of every list with Sandy Koufax off greatest Jewish athletes ever? Like, how is that not a thing that everyone knows?
He should be. I mean, it's Koufax, him, and Rod Carew. I mean, that is it.
So I want to get to the serious thing, and we will, because there's some serious stuff to discuss here, but I can't because Stugatz is making fun of Sedano. And I think it does bear repeating, bear revisiting that not that long ago, Jorge Sedano came on this radio show and suggested suspending Rudy Gobert for getting the coronavirus.
He said that.
He did. He did. So we'll get to that in a second, because the guys were laughing about that. But first, I wish you'd seen what they were laughing about in the middle of that, which is Stugatz was saying that Mike Golic is one of the top five good guys in the history of ESPN. And when called on it in this age of equality, when the group said to him, are there any women on your list of top five good guys at ESPN? Stugatz immediately pivoted to, no, I also have a list of top five fantastic females at ESPN. Just sort of That's covered right. it up as fast. Like, just, it was unbelievable how quickly he pivoted into a lie about having a list of five fantastic females that he has now drawn up because of the group calling him out on five good guys as it regards Golic.
I've told you that I have spent an unreasonable amount of time during this pandemic coming up with all kinds of top five lists, top 10 lists, all decade teams. You don't believe I had my fantastic female list at the ready? You don't think that, huh?
Okay, let's give you the benefit of the doubt and suggest that this is the first time you're not lying. Why is it that Golic, why were you talking about a top five? Is it the history of ESPN, top five good guys?
So Mike Golic, I mean, it was announced, Golic didn't announce it, but ESPN announced last week that there's going to be a new morning show.
And they did him dirty, Stugatz. They did one of the good guys dirty. How does he read about that in the paper? Hey, somebody smoke out this weasel at ESPN who's leaking stuff. Who is this weasel at ESPN who keeps leaking stuff so that Golic's reading about, you know, a Hall of Fame career ending from somebody else as opposed to somebody at our company telling him straight up when this is happening?
But when the news broke that Golic was no longer going to be part of the radio lineup, now Golic Jr. will, he'll be doing afternoons, but you know, the praise started pouring in. A lot of people, after it settled in, started to realize, hey, Mike Golic had a 20-year run doing Morning Drive on ESPN Radio and did a really good job during his 20 years. And it is hard to find a person at ESPN or outside of ESPN that doesn't like Mike Golic Sr., doesn't think that Mike Golic is a good guy, just a good guy. And so it got me thinking about the top five all-time good guy list at ESPN. And I believe I have a five that cannot be penetrated. I really do. All right. I believe I have the five, you know?
All right, so is it diverse? Because we already know it doesn't have women because we've got segregation here in your list, the top five fantastic females. Is it a diverse list, or are you just going to give us a bunch of Kirkchins?
It's diverse. It is diverse. If you've given me something to think about,
Tony,
but it is diverse.
Hold on. Yeah. Tony, Chris, why are you laughing? Because of how quick he is on his feet?
He's scrambling right now to find someone to fill in that list.
The most surprising thing is that Stugatz actually went to a list, so he has a list.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's see what we have here. It's on his phone. Do you want the dramatic flair and buildup?
Yeah, that would be nice. I appreciate it. Yes.
All right. And again, Jorge Sedano, if you're just joining us, said on our show that Rudy Gobert should be suspended for testing positive for the corona.
I wasn't even willing to go there.
You were jealous initially. You were initially jealous that he had a take that you didn't have, and now you realize, oh, wait, that's why no one else had that take. So number five, top five good guys at ESPN and ESPN history, according to Stugatz.
Mike Golic Sr.
Number four, Stugatz.
Marty Smith.
Number three, Stugatz.
Tony Reale.
Good answer.
List is not looking very diverse so far. Number two, Stugatz.
Oh, I miss him dearly, Stuart Scott.
Wait a minute. It feels like an affirmative action hire in the top five list, because I'm not saying he's not a good guy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he was awfully polarizing when he was alive. He was allowed to become a good guy after he left. Like, that's sort of the way that one happened.
My list.
Yeah, but I feel like you just scratched. What was really at number two before you scratched it out and put Stuart Scott?
Kirchin.
And finally, the number one good guy in the history of ESPN, and according to Stugatz, is
Lee Corso.
Yes, a fine, fine list. And now, in the interest of equality, Stugatz's top five totally fabricated fantastic females that he had to rush together when we told him his list wasn't diverse enough. Number five, Stugatz.
Susie Colbert.
Good list so far. Four, Stugatz.
Christine Lisi, beloved at ESPN. Yes,
and should be. Yes. Number three.
Doris Burke. Hall of Famer.
She's got the combination, right? Of being that nice and also being just hugely, hugely respected at being top of her craft. Number two.
I mean, has made a recent run up the charts. No one is climbing the charts faster than the creator of hashtag Girl Dad. Number two, L. Duncan.
Who was number two on your list before you threw L. Duncan there in the name of diversity? Top five fantastic females in the history of ESPN.
Hannah Storm.
Finally, the number one top fantastic female in the history of ESPN, according to Stugatz.
Linda Cohn.
Yes. Well done, Stugatz. It is a good list. Congratulations to Mike Golic, incidentally, on a hell of a run. He's going to keep doing college football around here. And what he understands, Stugatz, because his reaction was super classy to the idea that ESPN just sort of dumped him and he's reading about it in the paper. I reached out apologizing to him because I felt so bad about that as the ending. And his reaction was to sort of shrug because he understands the business of professional sports, how little loyalty it has. And we work in the same sort of place. Like, it's not like you're going to have a corporate overlord that holds you close to its bosom. Like, he understands professional sports are cutthroat and mercenary, and he understands that sometimes at the end you're going to get cut whether you deserve it or not. So I have gotten bombarded the last couple of days, Stugatz, because you have been the one talking about anti-Semitism, not me. Will you acknowledge for the audience that once you got that football, you just kept running like Forrest Gump through the end zone and through the tunnel, and that there was no room in either segment? Not to put you in the spot that Will Smith put Jada Pinkett in.
Right.
What did you do, Stugatz? What did you do?
I was a ball hog. I took the ball. I ran with it. I did not pass it back to you. I mean, Dan is unafraid to talk about it. He's talked about it before. He'll talk about it again. And in fact, I'm not certain I've ever encountered a topic that Dan is afraid to talk about. I have several.
Speaking of which, the botching of the Jorge Masvidal interview yesterday on the subject of politics, we will rectify that. I'm going to do a South Beach session with him talking about his questionable political views. He was on with us yesterday, and we'll see what he has to say about that. But we are going to continue that conversation. There wasn't room to have it yesterday because, as I mentioned, during the pandemic, we are selling everything, and we've kind of cheapened what we do around here. It's not our choice. It's being done to us and around us, but we've cheapened what we do around here in having less content because they're taking money from anyone who will give it.
All right, I'll leave that to you. So you have that covered, because he's also going to come on Stupidity in the next week or two, and I won't talk about any of that stuff.
Okay? Very good.
All right, good. All right.
So the thing that you guys have been saying I'm afraid to talk about, let's start here, okay? DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson were wrong, period, stop. We can have a conversation after that, but the front end of the context needs to be, and you can go ahead, this is very easy, right? It becomes a spectrum of yelling at them about how wrong they were, outraging the next person. They were wrong, period, stop, okay? Don't do that. Get yourself educated on the subject of others when others have been also oppressed like you. Now, the part of this that's more interesting to me than wagging a finger at them, because DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson can be interesting and illuminating on subjects that regard their experiences, and this particular take to me doesn't dilute their experiences. They can, like I saw Mike Wilbon saying Steven Jackson has lost credibility on all things. He has not lost credibility on being black. He has lost credibility on being able to discuss Jewish issues, but I don't go to Steven Jackson and DeSean Jackson for any kind of illumination on Jewish issues. Regardless, the Hitler stuff, the Holocaust stuff, I mean, you have to respect the pain of others and don't dismiss it. When you have this situation where Malcolm Jenkins is saying, I don't have time for that issue, I have to concentrate on our issue, I understand why Jewish people would find that divisive. Now, let me talk to you for a moment about the history of Jewish and black relations in this country, because you can make the argument that no ally in America has ever been stronger to black people than Jewish people. Now, that is damning them with faint praise, because it's not like black people have had a whole lot of allies. But at the top of the list, Jewish people helped with the Civil Rights Act of 64. Jewish people helped with the Voting Rights Act of 65. Jewish people helped with the creation of the NAACP because they knew what it was like to be repressed. And then what happened politically is the Black Panthers got involved, and then there became a separation that has some conflict in it, not everywhere, because this varies from north to south across regions and cultures around ages and generations. But there became a good deal of conflict when Jewish people got money, like when the class separation started and then what felt like separation started. So that's an interesting discussion to have if you want to have it. I'm not interested in wagging a finger at DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson because they said stupid stuff about anti-Semitism. We can do that. It's obvious. If you want to outrage me on that, okay, maybe you win. Of course, do not disrespect the Holocaust. Do not disrespect Jews. Do not invoke the name of Hitler.
Dan, and all I've said is the money doesn't make the pain of the Holocaust any make Jews feel any better, and it certainly doesn't make them feel any safer at a temple that they're at on Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre service.
But I'm talking about class separation, Stugatz, because it's something that's going all over in the country right now. When you get into these arguments where the president of the United States is saying, and he's not using numbers that are, he's not using percentages, he's not using per capita, and he's just saying white people are killed more by police officers than black people, instead of the facts, which are that black people are killed at a disproportionate rate. When you get into one of these situations with these discussions that divide people, what you're talking about largely is money, Stugatz. Like when people point to, well, what do you mean officers are killing black people? Black people in Chicago kill black people. It's because of the desperation in that area that has no money, that has been passed down generationally. Like the core of the argument that people are having is, are black people bad, or are their circumstances so bad because the system works against them instead of for them, that it creates a desperation that then becomes criminal, that then becomes a business, that then becomes modern slavery and mass incarceration?
Awkward transition. Time for some ads.
But Serrano said that Gobert should be suspended.
He said that.
For getting the coronavirus. Kanye has dropped out in his run for president. Something more important, which is, and it was a very short-lived presidential effort.
Well, now who's the birthday party's candidate going to be?
An excellent question. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Who's the birthday party's candidate going to be now? Yes or no? And I want to go to Roy here because Roy was saying that something is the worst thing in the world. And I think this is an overreaction, but his judgment tends to be pretty strong on these things. So the worst thing in the world, according to Roy, is what?
A mushy apple.
So put that on the poll as well, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is a mushy apple the worst thing in the world?
It's absolutely terrible. Like, I had some good apples back in my day, and basically back in my day was, last week. It was crispy. It was juicy. It was wonderful. But then I bought a new bag of apples, completely different species, and it was just mushy.
Disappointing.
Disappointing. Bad mouthfeel.
I will say this, the expectation of biting into a crisp, fresh, delicious, cold apple, and then you get the mushy, rotted apple, is so depressing and so disappointing. I mean, it's almost like expecting Coke, right? And then you get Diet Coke. It's terrible.
Oh, God.
It's the worst. Yeah.
No. In the realm of foods that go mushy that we don't want to, the worst is when you order like a takeout sandwich or a burger and you get the sandwich and your bread, like the bottom of the bread is mushy because like through the travel and all the time, a mushy sandwich bread is way worse than a mushy apple.
Put that on the poll as well, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Worst mushy food, sandwich with soggy bread or an apple. Billy, I want to know, I've been meaning to ask you for a couple of days here because I saw on Netflix a special that involves Walter Mercado, and I need to explain this to the American audience because I feel like they might not know who Walter Mercado is. But Billy, all of last year was really excited because he was on the cusp of getting Walter Mercado to come on and be our celebrity prognosticator on football to beat Colin Cowherd. And his people all said, well, Walter doesn't know anything about football. And Billy just kept saying, hey, you don't need to worry about it because that's exactly what we want. What do you mean no? What are you wagging a finger at me on?
Okay, so Walter Mercado being a celebrity prognosticator was a dream of mine for a long time. Look, I've had two people, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, two people that I would always pepper Allison with, like, we need to get this person as a celebrity prognosticator. One was Walter Mercado, and that is not going to happen. And two was Jerry Stiller, and that also is not going to happen. But Walter Mercado, I realized after years of trying to get Allison to book him, this just isn't going to happen if I leave this up to Allison. So I need to kind of take charge of this situation. So I'm like, it was ridiculous because I spoke Spanish. I speak Spanish, obviously, but I'm not a great Spanish writer. So I was getting people, setting invitations.
Hold on for just a second before you get too carried away here. Would you like to tell the audience who the hell Walter Mercado is? Because I feel like we're talking about something and they might be ignorant now. I know that you blaze ahead and don't care and can talk for 4 minutes. Can you just include the audience on all of these thoughts that you have? Something I like to call doing radio.
Well, Walter Mercado, for the uninitiated, is a Puerto Rican astrologer who was a worldwide phenomenon, let's say. And if you watch the movie, there's a new special on Netflix about his life called Mucho, Mucho Amor, which was produced by Alex Fumero, who actually, Dan, I don't even know if you know this, but he was one of the guys that worked at Fusion that was kind of responsible for getting us on TV. So this guy, visionary, obviously, he put us on Fusion and he did a documentary on Walter Mercado. And he would talk to Walter Mercado and he'd go and they did this whole thing. And it's kind of like the rise and fall and then re-rise of Walter Mercado. It's a sad story, but it's a happy story. And he's just a larger-than-life character.
Why?
He was very vibrant. He was
theatrical.
He had a unique style.
Hold on a minute. You don't talk around it. He was theatrical and flamboyant and ridiculous. Overly dramatic in a way that had a perfumed fragrance on it.
No, Dan Lebatard. Absolutely not. No, he was larger than life. He had a way of communicating with people. He had costumes. He was a showman. He was a classic showman, like a Fred Astaire type, like, you know, a Jerry Stiller, which, again, we're not going to get Jerry Stiller either, unfortunately, another one of my dreams. So anyways, I took the lead and I took charge and I was like, we need to get Walter Mercado on here to be a celebrity prognosticator. It's going to be a perfect fit. He can bring astrology into it. He may not know a lot about football, but he was a very positive person, good vibes, and we hadn't heard from him for a while, which if you watch the documentary, you'll find out why we didn't hear from him for a while. Sad story, but happy ending. And then sad ending because he died. But so I reached out to Walter Mercado's people, and I did some talking. I called some people, one of which was in the documentary. So I was like, good. I wasn't being fooled around with. This is an actual person. So that was good. And then things didn't line up, and then you went away for a little bit. And then I've realized Stugatz and Walter Mercado probably not going to be the best combination for celebrity prognosticators.
Well,
so we'll go back to like one of the Baldwins
right.
for that.
Yes. Hold on. Let's just stop this right here. Let's put a bookmark in it because I want to hear all about.
We're close to the end.
The documentary. I don't believe you. I don't ever believe you on that front. You're a yammering knob.
I didn't ask for any of that, by the way.
Yes. What I need to explain to the audience is that basically Walter Mercado is the closest thing that the Hispanic community has to like Liberace in terms of being ridiculously theatrical about something that didn't deserve it. And the other point I need to make is that there is not a Latin person listening to this right now whose mother or abuela or sister didn't drag Walter Mercado into their life, whether we wanted him in our life or not. There are so many Latin households where this guy was somehow a superstar. You can make the argument, Billy, who the hell is bigger in Latin culture than the absurd and wonderful from Spanish television theatrical Walter Mercado? Like,
I mean, I think it's down to Walter Mercado and
Don Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and El Gordo.
That's it. Like that's the entire list. Happy 69th birthday to Jesse the Body Ventura.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Nice. One of the most amazing things of my entire lifetime that the original Predator movie produced not one but two United States governors. Like, you could have gotten good money if you had bet that becoming the thing that would happen between him and Schwarzenegger. I want to get into Stugatz's thoughts on the new ESPN radio lineup that was announced while we were gone. We will get to our thoughts on that in a second to celebrate a seismic shift in the lineup. We're still standing, Stugatz. We are here through a couple of different explosions on the ESPN radio front. We're wobbled, but still standing. But I can't get to it just yet because Billy has more thoughts on Walter Mercado.
Well, Dan, I have a number of apologies to issue here because you asked me who's on the list with Walter Mercado. And I very lazily just said Don Francisco and El Gordo Reyes de Molina. but that left off La Flaca, Lilia Stefan. I didn't include Cristina. I didn't include Doctora Ana Maria Polo, who, fun fact, Caso Cerrado host, by the way, fun fact, same birthday as me. I know you were interested in that, Dan. Then in the Sábado Gigante category, we have Carlucho and Javier Romero, but they were more, you know, they were more players, role players to the Don Francisco. That was obviously the Don in this case, right? And then there's, you know, Hispanic Ryan Seacrest, Enrique Santos. And then if you're going in the news category, nobody compared to Guillermo Benitez. Nobody compared to him. So those are the apologies for omitting those people at the beginning. Now, Walter Mercado, as we've discussed, Puerto Rican astrologer. So we were trying to get him naturally to pick the football games for us because we had a long lineage of, you know, people like, you know, the Baldwins that we had to follow up on, right? So we naturally went to Walter Mercado. So I'm going back and forth with his nieces who were, you know, doing this thing. And I'm writing these emails in English and then I'm translating them in Spanish and I'm getting my family members to like proofread to make sure that I don't want to embarrass myself. If you have a line of contact to Walter Mercado, the last thing you want to do is embarrass yourself, obviously, right? So I have some phone calls that I'm making and emails going back and forth. And I think we finally found a way to get Walter, right? We're going to have him on. And then, as I was saying, you went on your honeymoon, and Stugatz is not the person
He's
to do this
equipped.
With Walter Mercado.
Stugatz would not be good with Walter Mercado. We would call him a bit of a mystic, right? An oracle. We'd also like a flamboyant mystic, correct? That's what we would make. There's been very few people like him in the history of entertainment. In fact,
of the world.
Yeah, I can't think of very many where he is basic. All he was doing was reading horoscopes, right? But he did it so theatrically.
That is so ridiculous. All he was doing was reading horoscopes. Like if he was going to the supermarket. Remember the supermarket that used to have those little scrolls that you would get and it'd be like Aquarius. All he was doing was reading. He was putting on a show, a performance. He was telling you in very uncertain terms that you couldn't kind of track back and say, hey, you were wrong about this. No. He wouldn't give you that. He would give you very uncertain terms. And it was just messages of positivity.
Very vague. Very vague. He was kind of terrible as a...
What? Terrible? He was the best. Terrible?
He was the best, but he was also vague. So vague that it didn't seem much like science.
He was giving you messages of inspiration and positivity to believe in yourself and that if you believed in yourself, you could accomplish anything. Because if you didn't believe in you, who would believe in you? Good question, Walter. So he was spreading positivity, and I felt like that's what we needed in the Celebrity Prognosticator segment. Positivity, right? Now, again, you then went on your thing, and Stugatz wasn't going to do well with him. And then, unfortunately,
we've established that. Thank you.
Before you got back, Walter passed away. So we couldn't get Walter on the show. But we were this close. And again, Jerry Stiller, another one that I want every night.
Right. You've mentioned a couple of different times that I went on my trip, that Stugatz wasn't equipped. And
I'm not holding it against you. That we didn't talk to Walter
Mercado.
Resentful.
But, you sound resentful.
Maybe we would time things differently. Right. We could have possibly had Walter.
Well,
Mercado.
It's interesting that you mentioned time again.
I'm resentful.
It's interesting that you mentioned time again because I wanted to ask you about the Netflix documentary involving Walter Mercado.
Oh, so good.
No, but we've now gone two segments and you've eaten up all the time. And what's going to happen is people are going to blame me for being both anti-Semitic and being anti-Mercado.
More Dan Stu from the Clevelander on ESPN Radio.